Lord, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to say, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to sing your praises, O Lord. Lord, I praise you this morning and we thank you that we can hear your word afresh. I pray for revelation in our spirit that we will understand what you are saying to the church this morning. I pray this morning, Lord, that you will make the word clear, that you will make it understandable, that we will be encouraged, that we will be strengthened, Lord, that we will be revitalized again by your word. May your word be like water to wash us this morning. May your word be like a mirror that we can see our own spiritual image in your word. May your word be like a fire this morning to burn the dross that so easily entangles us. So your word be like a hammer this morning, O God, to soften our spirit and change our hearts and mold it into what you want us to be this morning. So I pray, Holy Spirit, this is your word. I pray that I will speak it, not adding anything and not taking away anything, but that we will hear it straight from your heart, straight from your throne room this morning. In Jesus' name. And all God's children say, amen. 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 Do you love Jesus? Amen. Do you really love him? Amen. How important is he to you today? How important is Jesus to you? What has he done for you this week? Let's turn with me to Romans chapter 8, 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And I'm going to try and do a series on this. Flesh versus spirit. I was very encouraged by the word Cephas gave the Psalms on the Saturday, and it made me wonder and think, you know, to do a teaching on flesh versus spirit. And that to make us aware that we are triune. We comprise of body and soul and spirit. And how these three entities work. And why God made us body, soul, and spirit. And what part of this body relates to God? And what part of the body relates to the world? And what part of the body comprises of our emotions, our intellect, and our will? And so I want to start off this morning on the spirit, because that is the communication part of us. As people of the Lord, or as people, as human beings. So Romans 18:16 says the following. If you have it, say amen. I do want us to go through various scriptures because it is a word that needs to be scrutinized under scripture. And so we will stick to scripture as far as possible. And it says the following in Romans 8:16. It says, and I'm going to take it from a little bit beyond, from 15. And it says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And so the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, I want to say just for clarity that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We serve our doctrine is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as we can see here, it speaks about himself. So the Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is not a wind. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is the third person of the Trinity. when Jesus left, he says, I will send another comforter in John 14 as well in 16. And he says, the one that will send to you will come to glorify the name of the Father and glorify my name and glorify the name of the Father. Therefore, he is God. He is the third person of God and he is a person. It's very important for us to understand that he's not an influence, he's not a wind, he is a person. So when we communicate with God, we communicate with the Holy Spirit, who is person, who is the third person of the triune God. And in same manner, it is important for us to understand that we have a spirit. And that our spirit is human, is a person. It is a, or rather, our spirit, there is body, soul, and spirit. Spirit is our, we have a spirit body. A spirit body. It's not an influence, we have a spirit body. And if we were in the teachings on a Sunday night, when we die, it is our spirit body that leaves and immediately we are with the Lord, if you are saved. If you're unsaved, immediately we are not with the Lord. And so we have a body, and then we have a soul, which comprises of our emotions, our intellect, and our will, and then we have a spirit body. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it is our spirit body that communicates with the Lord. So our spirit is the seat of communication with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, with God the Father. It is our spirit that is our communicating seat. It is important as believers for us to know and discern that they are inevitably that God is spirit. And therefore, as he says in Romans, that it is the Holy Spirit who confirms with our spirit that we are children of God. And so our spirit is the one that communes with the Lord. In order to keep communion open with God, who is Holy Spirit, it is all in order for us, we need to keep our spirit intact. Now, the more we feed our spirit with fasting and praying and fellowshipping with the Lord and seeking the face of God and yielding ourselves to the Lord, the more our spirit is built up. When we were unsaved, it is our body, our flesh that reigned. Our flesh that ruled. I'll get to that some other time, not today. I want to concentrate on the spirit. But when we give our life to Jesus Christ, it is our spirit that becomes dominant. And it is our spirit that communicates with the Lord. And the more we feed our spirit by the yielding, the more we keep in communion with the Lord, the more we read the word, the more we fast, the more we seek to heed our spirit, the stronger our spirit man becomes. And when our spirit man becomes, flesh becomes lesser, soul becomes lesser, and the decisions we make is made according to the will of the Holy Spirit, because then we understand the will of the Spirit, because our spirit is yielded to the Holy Spirit. You with me? And so in order to keep our spirit intact, in order to keep that communication open with the Holy Spirit, with God, in order for us to understand and communicate with the Holy Spirit, and in order for us to have our spirit strong, we need to maintain our spirit. We need to make sure that our spirit man is in good condition. We need to make our know that our spirit man is truly in intact, that we can hear God. Because it is in the spirit, in our spirit, that there is new life. It is in our spirit that we know the will of God. It is in our spirit that we receive revelation. Not in our head. That's knowledge, yours. That's when we read and all of that. I can read the Bible several times, but until my spirit gets the revelation, will I understand? How many times haven't you read Psalm 23 over and over, and it's in funerals and it's in weddings and all of that? But one day you decide you're going to read it and sit, and the Holy Spirit begins to minister to your spirit.
And suddenly revelation hits forth and new life is born and new hope is born. Because it is in the spirit that revelation comes. Revelation of who God is. Revelation of the Word of God. Revelation because of the Holy Spirit that communicates and confirms with your spirit the things of God. It is in our spirit that we are trained. It is in our spirit that we are spiritually nurtured. Not in the head. Not in our mind. Not in our emotions. Our emotions can do all sorts of things. Today I can say God has called me into intercession. Because I'm feeling hyped. I'm emotionally high. Tomorrow I'm depressed. No, God hasn't called me into intercession. Because that's not where God wants me to be. Tomorrow God has called me for hospital visitation. Because I'm hyped. I'm up. My emotions are great. Tomorrow I'm down in the dumps. I'm feeling like a dog. I'm depressed. No, God has not called me for hospital visitation. So we cannot operate in our emotions. And we cannot operate in our intellect. So what God gives us beautifully is our spirit. So in our spirit, we understand the will of God for us. We are trained and matured in our spirit. It is in our spirit that we are secure in the power of the service of the God. And in order for us to have a good spirit, in order for us not to be ruled and reigned by our emotions and our body and the desires of the flesh, our spirit has to be strong. Has to be kept in good condition. Because when our spirit is in good condition, we are a people that are led by the Spirit, by God. And so what is this condition? Turn with me to Psalm 34. The first condition, in our culture today and in our society and in the world, being poor, being broken, being contrite are weaknesses. We live in a world where today it's about get what you want, take what you want, be powerful, be mighty, be great. But you see, in God's kingdom, and when we are open to the Holy Spirit, when God begins to train our spirit, we will soon realize that God's kingdom is nothing compared to this kingdom of this world. God's holy kingdom, the kingdom of God has got nothing to do with this kingdom of this world. And so there are conditions that God is saying, child of God, when your spirit is in these conditions, I can train you. I can change you. I can give you life. I can give you hope. Because we communicate, we fellowship. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is in our spirit. And when it's in our spirit, it controls our body. It controls our emotions. Psalm 34, 18 says the following, and I'm going to read a couple of from a version called Darth version. And so it reads the following. My version says, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those of a crushed spirit. Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And save us such who have a contrite spirit. And so the first condition, that is the condition of our spirit that we need to seek to maintain, is a contrite spirit. A condition that we need to seek to maintain within our heart is a contrite spirit. The other versions say, is a contrite heart, a crushed spirit and a contrite heart. This condition is one where we come before God and it is a contrite, it is a broken spirit. It is a spirit that David speaks about. It is this spirit, a contrite spirit, that the presence of God is felt. I'll say that again. When we have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, it is in a broken spirit and a contrite spirit that the presence of God is felt. When your spirit is strong and it does its own thing and it's just in control, it is very difficult to experience the presence of God. But the condition that God puts forward to us today and say to us, these are your conditions of your spirit. When you have these conditions, I can guarantee you, you will hear me, you will sense me, you will be guided by me, you will be, I will lead you, I will guide you. And so a contrite spirit, says the Lord, will not be despised. A contrite spirit is a spirit that detects and is open to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. A contrite spirit is a spirit that will detect the will of God. And it's a spirit that will mourn when we're out of the will of God. Have you ever felt that when you have to make a decision, some people ask, how do you hear God? How do you know you're in His will? It is in the area of the spirit that you will know. It is in the area that of the spirit that you will hear Him. And when we are sensitive, when we have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, how many times haven't you made a decision and somehow you just felt like, this is not right. And you made a decision or you felt a kind of sadness. It is the spirit, your spirit, that is open. It is broken. It is sensitive. It is vulnerable. And in the vulnerableness, you will sense the will of the Holy Spirit. And when you are really, really focusing in and you say, God, I want to be open, you will feel it. You will sense it. And a contrite spirit, therefore, is one that will mourn when we're out of the will of God. We call it conviction. We often call it even discernment. But when our spirit is strong and in control, and when it's totally whole and it's all of that, we're not vulnerable. The world says we have a strong spirit. Lord Jesus says have a contrite spirit. Have a broken spirit. And so a broken spirit or a contrite spirit is a spirit that is easily and easily confesses and easily heeds to God. You know, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is that it's a dove. I was listening to Joyce Meyer and she was speaking on the Holy Spirit and she gave this example of a friend that had this flat, and on this flat ledge, pigeons would come. But she says amongst the pigeons, there was a dove. And every time she and her husband would have this argument, the pigeons would say, stay, but the dove would go. And every time they had some kind of a noise, the pigeons would stay, the dove would go. Why the dove? Because the dove is gentle. The dove cannot take pressure. The dove is soft. The dove is easily grieved. The dove is easily chased away. And you know, when our spirit is hard and our spirit is tight and our spirit is into control, it is then that the dove will leave. But you see, the dove manifests itself in softness and in brokenness. And a contrite heart is soft. It's broken. It's gentle. It's vulnerable. It creates an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to stay. And so when we have this contrite heart, and when we have a contrite spirit, God says, you know what? It is a spirit like that that I will not despise. I stay. I abide. I communicate. And I commune. And so one of the conditions of our heart, or our spirit, for us to grow in God, we need to have a contrite spirit. The second condition that God says, that's the atmosphere that I want to communicate with. That is where I want to be. That is how I'm going to communicate with you, is when we have a broken spirit. Now, contrite is something different. Broken, turn with me to 51. This is Psalm 51. This is where David sins with Bathsheba and he writes the psalm. And he says, create in me a clean heart. But in Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. He says, I will not cast away a contrite spirit. But the sacrifice that I delight in is a broken spirit. Do you have it? Psalm 51. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. What is a broken spirit? A broken spirit is one which trembles before God. You see, with a broken spirit, we are and will sense an uneasiness to the spirit when we sin. And so a broken spirit is kind of a spirit that fears God. It is a spirit that is ready to heed to the holiness of God. It is a spirit that actually don't want to violate the laws of God. A broken spirit is the one that says, you can sense it with David. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because he understands, they see with a broken spirit, there's a sense of the reverence of God. People have all kinds of spirits, you know. Some guys, some people have very hard spirits. And you wonder why. You wonder why. I mean, if you talk about crime and stuff like that, why? You know, not too long ago, a guy jumped over. In fact, 2 weeks ago, a guy jumped over. He was running. He was stealing. Ran over, jumped over the fence here. And the security was after them, and he was screaming, but the anger, and the hatred, and the aggression, and the rebellion was so hard and so scary. He was crying out that his foot was broken, but the spirit was one of absolute aggression. And so we ask ourselves, God, where do people fear? How is it to rob? How easily is it to kill? How easily is it to murder? How easily is it to, because people have hard spirits. But a broken spirit is a spirit that fears God. That fears the Lord. That understands that if I hurt him, I grieve him. That understands that when I do this, I will grieve the Holy Spirit. I will cause him pain. I will cause the Lord Jesus Christ pain. A broken spirit is one that says, Lord, forgive me, create in me a clean heart, please, so that I may not chastise against you. It is a spirit that is so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to God that you understand, no, I cannot do this because it will hurt. I'm telling you, the spirit, a broken spirit is so sensitive to God that it understands like a friend that I cannot hurt this person. A broken spirit is one that is easily restored. A broken spirit is one that is easily mends his relationship with the Lord. A broken spirit is one that easily bows down to God. A broken spirit is one that so easily says, you know, Lord, I surrender. I give you my all. A broken spirit is a spirit and a condition that God says, that's the spirit I want, because that spirit will seek after me as a deer pants after water brooks. A broken spirit doesn't take grace for granted. A broken spirit appreciates. Someone spoke about appreciate this morning. Spoke about appreciates the revelation of salvation that the Lord has brought. A broken spirit almost wants to, never ever want to hurt the Lord. And it is a broken spirit that God loves. And he says, you know, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice I appreciate is not the goat or the bull. It's not the all of the that. It is a broken spirit. Because a broken spirit God can use to the utmost. And you know, through all of this, society says, no. But you see, we're kingdom people. We serve a living, holy God. And he speaks to us in our spirit. And you know, when we can train our spirit and seek to have these conditions, I promise you, and I testify, that God, when our spirit is right, then we are truly conquerors in the Lord. Because then you don't rule your life on your own. And I don't rule my life on my own. It is the Spirit of God that rules our life. The third condition that God loves and wants our spirit to be in is an afflicted spirit. Turn with me to Isaiah 66 verse 2. I will read from this Darby version again, because the modern versions take away the essence of the scriptures. And so the third one is an afflicted spirit. And again, these are terms that we don't like to hear. The world don't want to speak about broken and contrite and afflicted. But you see, the Lord says, that's the spirit that I can work with. And so Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, but to this man, and I'll say to this woman as well, but to this man and woman will I look. To this man and woman will I look. To the afflicted and contrite in spirit, and who trembleth at my word. To this person I will look, who has an afflicted spirit. And so the spirit with whom God delights is an afflicted spirit, because an afflicted spirit reveres him and trembles him. But an afflicted spirit is a teachable spirit. An afflicted spirit is a spirit that says, Lord, your way, not my way. Though your will and not my will. It is one where we come and we say, Lord, this is what we want from me. I will do it. The fourth spirit is a lowly spirit. And the condition of this spirit is one that is where we look down at ourselves and we seek the Holy Spirit to demonstrate His power in us. Turn with me to Proverbs 16 verse 19. And Proverbs 29 verse 23, I'm going to read it quickly. It says, but to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share the plunder of the proud. And then it goes on, Proverbs 29, 23 says, a man of lowly spirit gains honor. A man of a lowly spirit gains honor. Lowliness, not loneliness, but lowliness, is not looking down at a person or looking down at yourself. It's not false humility. It is a sense of where we crush ourselves. But a lowly spirit is demonstrated when one associates with the poor, when one associates with that which you don't have. In other words, a lowly spirit recognizes that I don't have it all in this life. I don't have what it takes to stand on my own. A lowly spirit is one that says, Lord, I cannot do without you. A lowly spirit says, I cannot make it and walking in this world as a non-Christian or a Christian on my own. A lowly spirit is one that says, I will humble myself before you. A lowly spirit is one that is teachable and, you know, and one that will say to the Lord, where you go, I will follow. Because I don't have it all. I don't have the resources to make it through this walk on my own. I don't have the resources to stand tall in the midst of crisis. I don't have that resources, Lord, that will make it on my own. I don't have that strength of spirit to stand in the face of my enemy. I don't have it. Therefore, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Not, oh Lord, where I can surrender, where I can realize that I am so dependent. It is a lonely spirit that says, you my refuge and my strength in the time of need. It is a lonely spirit that says, Lord, keep my weak hand in your strong hand. It is a lonely spirit that says, oh God, may I lean on you and may I be strengthened by you. And one of the things, the conditions that the Lord is asking us is to have this lowly spirit.
Because in a lowly spirit, God will seek Abel. It's in a lowly spirit that this mic just don't want to work. I'm so dependent on this mic. But a lowly spirit says, God, you know, I need you. Every day I need you. Every single day. Every day I need you. I need you to be there for me. When we walk with a lowly spirit, you walk with the Lord. People with a lowly spirit walks with the Lord. They walk with the Lord. And people, Christians, born again Christians, whether they are of the rich or whether they are of the low, with a lowly spirit, God fills you with wisdom. You see, wisdom is not written in books. And wisdom is not about what we learn academically. Wisdom is imparted by the Spirit Himself. And wisdom comprises of insight, foresight, and hindsight. And it is in a lowly spirit that wisdom is given. That is why someone with a lowly spirit understands, I cannot do this on my own. I need you. Oh, how I need you. The last spirit, the conditional, the spiritual condition of the spirit that God wants us to have is a joyful spirit. A joyful spirit. Luke 1:47 says, my spirit, Mary says, my spirit rejoices in you, my Savior. And Mary, when she uttered those words, she was pregnant out of wedlock. Mary, when she uttered that word, she was of the lowliest, poverty-stricken. Mary, when she uttered those words, was in a situation where she could lose everything. She could have even been killed because they could have seen her as being in adultery. Yet in that condition, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in Christ my Savior. Because with a joyful spirit, you can look at the storm and smile at the storm, because you know that the Holy Spirit will carry you through. It is in a joyful spirit. I heard a term in the week saying, praise yourself out of the situation. Give the Lord praise out of the situation. Sing yourself out of the situation. Because when you praise the Lord, joy comes in the morning and hope is rising up in your spirit. And one of the conditions of the spirit that God wants us to have is so that we can have the joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you are ill in body, your spirit goes. Because your body really is in your outer shell. It faces the things of the world. Faces the onslaughts of the world. But I praise the Lord, and I've experienced it more than once when I prayed, when I've preached, and I will share it with you. There were times that I felt flu-y. I remember last year, I did the whole series on healing, and that day I preached. And that morning I was flu-y. My bones was aching and my fingers were aching. And I sat there and I thought, oh Lord, Victor, I know, because I want to pray and go home and lie down. But I tell you, when I took the pulpit, because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I felt absolutely no symptoms of flu. Why? Because you see, when you praise, and even in the praise and the worship, when you begin to praise, your spirit takes control. And no longer does your body dictate to you how to serve God. No longer does your emotions dictate to you how to serve God. But the Lord Himself tells you how to serve Him, because your spirit is then in tune, and your spirit then controls your body and controls your emotions. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, lights break forth, strength breaks forth, and healing breaks forth. And when I took that pulpit that morning and I began to preach and I began to pray, when I left, those symptoms were gone. Amen.
Not because of me or my body or my medication or whatever, but because the Holy Spirit Himself came in joy in the morning and strengthened so much so that it rules your body. We still need doctors. You will still have your symptoms, whatever. But you see, at the end of the day, that God has given us our spirit to be in communication with the Holy Spirit, God Himself, that it controls our body. I had a lady, and now she's Alzheimer's. She used to say, snowing or blowing, I'm going. She wasn't going to let her body dictate to her spirit how to serve the Lord. And so one of the things in victory, child of God, hear me this morning, that when you want to walk in victory, seek and want to have, make your spirit, battle beat your spirit, get your spirit into a condition of joy. Force yourself, sing to the Lord, praise yourself out of your circumstance. Praise yourself out of the heaviness. Praise yourself out of desperation. Praise yourself out of depression. Praise, 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 because praise brings back the joy. And a joyful spirit is never defeated. We won't always have our joy. And we will not always be happy. But one of our ammunition in spiritual warfare is to seek to have our joy. David says, restore unto me what? The joy. The joy. The joy. Joy. J-O-Y. Joy. And one of the conditions that the Lord is saying to us, to hear me, child of God, to be in control of your body, to be in control of your soul, seek to have joy. It's the joy that will control your body and your soul. And your spirit man will be strong. Your spirit person is your true person. Your spirit person is your true person. It is in the spirit that one sees where people are at, where you are at. Whatever is going on is in the spirit. That's why the word of God says that the eyes is the light to the soul. I can stand here before you being wonderful in my beautiful floral jacket, but if my soul is disturbed and my spirit, you will see it. That's the true person. That is the true person. And that is the person, the soul is the spirit that will meet with God one day. Not your body. The beautiful thing about the scripture Cephas read on Sunday, and that's what got me on Saturday, that got me so awesome. You see, this is the thing about the spirit, that you can be 88 and have the spirit of a young person, because the Lord renews your strength daily. You can be 90 and you can be frail, but you can have a spirit that communicates with God to the T, and you will feel as though you can take the mountain. Caleb took the mountain at 80. What mountain faces you today? What trial faces you today? What body ailment is kicking in today? What is getting you down in your arthritis and all that? What? You see, when your spirit, those things, you got more than you can take that mountain. Because the Lord your God is your strength. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. You ask of us to have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, an afflicted spirit, a lowly spirit, and a joyful spirit. And Lord, you say in those spirits, you will not despise, you will not cast away, you will take delight. And Lord, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus, that we will understand your communication with our spirit, that we will mold our spirit into what you want it to be this morning, in the name of Jesus. Let's just stand this morning. Raise your hands to the Lord. I'm not going to pray for people, but just give yourself to the Lord. If your body somebody is sick this morning, you say to your spirit, Lord, I want to have a strong spirit to cast out the sickness in my body in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen my spirit this morning that I will trust you in the times of poverty. Lord, strengthen my spirit this morning that depression will leave my soul in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen my spirit that the joy of the Lord will take control of my mind and my heart and my soul in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning touch my spirit that I will overcome that addiction in the name of Jesus. Lord, control my spirit that I will overcome those habits that so easily entangle me in the name of Jesus. Lord, inspire and strengthen my spirit this morning that I will hear you in my crisis in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, strengthen my spirit that you will give me wisdom for my situation at work this morning. Oh, wisdom with my children. Wisdom this morning. Oh, give me a contrite spirit and a lowly heart that I will hear your voice, oh God, in every circumstance this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I want you at this moment to tell the Holy Spirit what's bothering you, what is bringing you down, what is crushing you, or what you want God to do more in your life. Oh, just whisper a prayer in the morning this morning. Just tell him what you are grieved with. Tell him what you are joyful about. Tell him what you're happy about. Tell him what you're sad about. Speak to the Holy Spirit this morning. He is a person. He is here. God is here. Jesus is not here in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is here. Tell him your heart this morning. Hallelujah. Just tell him your heart. Tell him your heart. Now, Lord, you hear your children. You hear us this morning. You hear us this morning. You know what grieves us, Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray this morning, touch our spirit. Make it strong. Quicken it. Quicken our spirit, that our mortal bodies will be strong. In the name of Jesus, that our mortal bodies will be healed. In the name of Jesus. And now just this one moment, just whisper Jesus' name, because the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus. Just say, Jesus. Oh, just say his name as you breathe out, Jesus. Again, just breathe out the beautiful name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you this morning. And we give you praise. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.